hits by the coolest artists. People like Frank Sinatra, Billie Holiday, Nat King Cole. Cool hits by cool artists for cool people like you. Big Band 89.1 KCEA.
Used to think a love song was none of my affair, but one fine spring I heard a certain music in the air. April played the fiddle and my heart began to dance, and I was so surprised to find my arm around romance. April played the fiddle and I memorized the tune, and later on a dream and I went singing to the moon. Then May began to gossip and June just winked her eye, and you should have seen the know-it-all expression on July. April played the fiddle, ah, but here's the funny part. I had to pay the fiddler with my one and only heart. Began to gossip and June just winked her eye, and you should have seen the know-it-all expression on July. April played the fiddle, ah, but here's the funny part. I had to pay the fiddler with my one and only
haven't met since then. energy, but it's nice to see you again. What's new? Probably I'm boring you, but seeing you is grand, and you were sweet to offer your hand. I understand that you, pardon my asking what's new. Of course you couldn't know, I haven't changed, I still love you so.
We'll be right back. has only begun. Beyond the blue horizon lies a rising sun.
Thank you. warning to you. Be sure it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie. Millions of hearts have been broken just because these words
again, I'm David Miller, host of Swingin' Down the Lane. For the past 25 years, I've been playing the best of the recorded music of the mid-20th century. We're still producing new programs, but you can also hear our past programs on the best of Swingin' Down the Lane on the home of the big bands, 89.1 KCEA.
Swingin' Down the Lane with David Miller, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA.
And that old standby amorous, it's all too wonderful. I'll never find the words that say enough, tell enough. I mean, they just aren't swell enough. You're much too much, and just too very, very to ever be in Webster's dictionary. And so I'm borrowing a love song from the birds to tell you that you're marvelous, too marvelous for us. We'll
with Matt Taylor, Sunday mornings at 9 Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA, the home of the big bands.
I can't give you anything but love, baby.
That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby.
Dream a while, scheme a while, you're sure to find
happiness, and I guess all those things you've always longed for.
Gee, it's good to see you looking swell, baby.
Diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell, baby.
Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby. I can't give you anything but love.
Thing I've plenty of, baby.
Dream a while, scheme a while, you're sure to find
happiness, and I guess all those things you've always longed for.
Gee, it's good to see you looking swell,
looking swell,
baby.
Diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell, baby.
Till that lucky day, ripping out with me. But when he plays with the bass and guitar, they holler off.
Atherton, Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of the Sequoia High School Cherokees, online at kcea.org. Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave. Happy holidays, and welcome again to Yesteryear, the best of the golden age of radio. On today's program, a couple of holiday treats for you. A little bit later on, we'll enjoy Nick Carter, Master Detective, with Christmas Adventure, first broadcast in December of 1943. But first, a very special treat. It's the Columbia Workshop. The Columbia Workshop was one of the great early experimental theaters of the air, beginning to broadcast on CBS in July of 1936, with many innovations in sound effects and production. From the beginning, the workshop was seen as a showcase for young writers and actors. Much of the young talent first saw action on the Columbia Workshop, went on to become big names in the medium just a few years later. Norman Corwin came out of the workshop, who produced today's program, as did Orson Welles. Bernard Herrmann, CBS composer-conductor, was assigned musical scores. On today's edition of the Columbia Workshop, we present The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, broadcast December 24th of 1942. About 25 minutes into the broadcast, there's an interruption for a war-related news bulletin. We thought we'd leave that in as a special treat. Here now, The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, a rarity from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler, sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
You are aware of the plot to overthrow Christmas, which has been going on for some time now. In fact, Norman Corwin wrote a play called The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, which has been broadcast on CBS for 3 years. Tonight, you will hear it again. This presentation is by way of a Christmas gift from CBS to its listeners on the principle that the best presents you can give your friends are the things you want for yourself. We wish you good cheer and ask you to follow the unraveling of The Plot to Overthrow Christmas by Norman Corwin. Did you hear about the plot to overthrow Christmas? Well, gather ye now from Maine to the Isthmus of Panama and listen to the story of the utter inglory of some gory goings-on in hell. Now, it happened in Hades, ladies and gentlemen. It happened down there that the fiends held a meeting. The fiends held a meeting for the purpose of defeating Christmas. With the aid of a fade on the radio, we'll take you there with a high and a hey-de-ho to hear firsthand the brewing of the plot down in the deepest Stygian grot.
Grot is a poetical term for grotto. Whenever you hear my voce sotto, or sotto voce, whichever you prefer, it's just I taking pains to make quite sure that nobody makes a poetical allusion which might in any way create confusion. I return you now to the voice you were hearing before I had to do this interfering.
As I was saying, in this Stygian grot, the notables of Limbo hatched a plot. And what went on in the sulfurous hole we'll soon pick up by remote control. Of course, such a pickup is not made quickly. As a matter of fact, it's done rather trickly. You mustn't mind if it sounds erratic. That's merely intraterrestrial static. Don't be surprised if you're deafened by thunder just as we start on our journey under. You'll hear earthquakes and all of the commoner varieties of natural phenomena. And so, below, via radio, to the regions where legions of the damned go.
In the middle of a movement of my favorite concerto. You should look to the improvement of your manners.
Sir, if you please, my apologies. I would not have intruded upon your recital if the matter were not so terribly vital.
The most important matter in the world is piddling when it comes to be compared with Nero's fiddling.
Now, what you say may be very true, but I have been sent here to summon you to a great mass meeting of the tortured souls down in the grot of the flaming coal.
A meeting? What for? What's the big idea? Why can't a fellow have some peace down here?
Peace? Poor soul, can't be found on the premises. This is a region abounding in nemesis.
Now you're talking like a travel folder. Tell me, varlet, before I smolder, why are we meeting? Who's on the spot?
We're meeting in order to fabricate a plot. A plot against the festival that mortal men comfort in and gladden in again and again. You see, every year...
Never mind the facts. I don't want to hear how mortal man acts. The only information about which I care concerns the mass meeting and who'll be there.
His wickedness, Mephisto, will preside.
Naturally.
And several of the Borgias will be sitting at his side. And down in front, where the sizzling sodium, will be many personalities noted for their odium. Haman, Caligula, Medusa, and Legree.
That's all very nice, but what about me?
Oh, you'll be sitting in row A, center, between Ivan the Terrible, the Tormentor, and Circe.
Mercy! Why, they're both deranged!
Do you wish me to see if your seat can be changed?
Yes, if you will, please. Taste comes first, even though a soul may be eternally cursed.
Righto. See you at the meeting, then.
Yes. And now, back to my fiddling again.
This is I, the sotto voce person. It should have been explained that Nero's rehearsing for nothing in particular. He's just that way. While hell's fires burn, he likes to play. Makes it feel a little more at home. It's just an avocation he picked up in Rome.
Please, I've called you here from over 60 seas of boiling pitch and blazing phosphorus to stop what constitutes a loss for us. We've lost prestige, and I greatly deplore that we stand in danger of losing more in the way of confidence and spirit. We are far from our goal. We're nowhere near it. And this is the reason. Though we've done well in carrying forward the work of hell, we've left a very big job unfinished. After all these years, there is undiminished goodwill on earth every late December because of Christmas. Now, please remember that as long as this continues to be, the race of man will not belong to me. I will listen now to any questions you may want to ask, and then suggestions.
Mr. Chairman.
Brother Haman has the floor.
You say we have done well in our effort to sell evil. I say we have done better. We have carried out the letter of your law. We've done what I think is a pretty good job, And I say as a veteran Damon...
Sit down there, Heyman. Enough of this folly.
Sit down yourself. You're off your trolley.
Sit down, for I am Ivan the Terrible.
You're telling us. Why, you are unbearable.
Hello, demons. This is no way to act. Please proceed with a little more tact. I want more decorum in this forum. All personal remarks must cease. Now, Brother Ivan, will you speak your piece?
I merely want to say in a casual way that Heyman is a radical. He always gets fanatical. Why anybody think to hear him snort that the work of the Nazis should just stop short? Anybody think to hear him talking that Hitler and Hito should stop stalking the ways of the world?
Mr. Chairman, Brother Ivan is a demagogue with a brain like a fly and the manners of a hog. Why, he says we...
Now that's enough. We will hear from others. Surely there must be among you brothers enough venom and malevolence to crush a mortal man's benevolence. It's come to this. Are we going to let a little holiday like Christmas get the better of us all down here below?
No.
Very well then, sirs. Very well, let's go. Let's lay down our plans now to overthrow this Christmas business and all that guff of holly and mistletoe and stuff. Brother Caligula may take the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I abhor, as a former emperor, anything which curbs our rule. I suggest we start right in manufacturing more sin. Let us give some presents, too. Candy sticks and things to chew. Fruits and nuts and little cakes. Poisonous as rattlesnakes.
Bravo!
Let our subtlest worker be bichloride of mercury. Let us wrap in tinsel bright little gifts of dynamite. Work things so that men will fear when 12:25 draws near.
Bravo!
Soon at this rate, if you please, men will hang from Christmas trees.
My dear Caligula, permit the chair to say that we think you've got something there. And now, with this fine start, let's hear some more. Yes, Brother Nero, do you want the floor?
With all due respect to Caligula's views, I think there's a better method we can use. I've just heard lately men are giving the razz to classical music by making it jazz. They're swinging it Bach and what is keener. They're doing the shag to Palestrina.
Yeah.
As a connoisseur of music, of course I love the works of Rimsky-Korsakov. But today I note with a bitter shrug, they've made Scheherazade a jitterbug.
Much as we admire your clever rhyme, will you get to the point? We're wasting time.
I was just about to say, when interrupted, that Christmas can easily be corrupted. If you take and swing all the Christmas carols, why, think of the evil. Just barrels and barrels of sacrilege every time you play a pious song in a profane way. Why, once you entice them to swing Noel, then victory belongs to us fiends. Well?
Mr. Legree.
I'd like to say that it seems to me that you all's barking up a coonless tree. I think Mr. Nero's made a wrong guess. The way to go about it is to get in Congress, bribe a bunch of senators who know their oaths, and just make a purchase of a block of votes. And then they can legislate a situation where they rule old Christmas right out of the nation. They can all get together and pass a law where there ain't gonna be no Christmas anymore.
I think Legree's suggestion is a beaut.
That's very cute
and quite astute.
To me, it seems a bit impractical, because you have to be so tactical.
Why?
For instance, now, a senator who'd sell his vote to our lobbyists might very well sell right out again and become a tool of agencies representing the Yule.
By the eternal night. That's right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Miss Borgia.
I say that we should all give pause to think about this Santa Claus. He is the man behind the scenes, the symbol of what Christmas means. If we could rub him out, my friend, our troubles would be at an end. Just think how it would tickle us to liquidate St. Nicholas. A girl like me could fascinate the guy and then assassinate.
Do you think that you could do it, pretty one? Are you sure you wouldn't be by pity one?
Sometimes you are an awful tease, my master Mephistopheles. Ain't I murdered several dozens, poisoned uncles, aunts, and cousins? Don't my work right here in Hades make me first among the ladies? Men of virtue all have cussed me. I am sure that you can trust me.
Of that we haven't a particle of a doubt, Miss Borgia. And I'm sure we all have nothing but kind feelings towards you. But many times a woman's spy, alas, adores her victim. Dames make poor ambassadors.
Do you imply that such defects are found inherent in my sex?
I do.
Well, listen here, old Ironsides. You're heading for some cyanide. You've crossed a Borgia. And you know the consequences that follow.
Come, come, disciples. This is very bad.
There's nothing to be gained by getting mad. Suppose we put the matter to a vote. First, the plan of Brother Nero's, viz., to swing the hymns and pious music. All those for will please respond by raising up a paw.
For?
And those against?
Against!
Very well. Now, the project of Legree's. Who is there here who totally agrees?
I do.
Legree votes for himself. And those opposed?
Opposed!
And now, all those who favor Borgia's cause, it being to eliminate Santa Claus.
Aye!
And those opposed? Seems the women have a way with them. At least they've carried the day with them. The motion's carried. And now we'll decide which one of us will take Nick for a ride. We'll all draw lots and thus settle the moot point of who will be sent to execute.
This is your old friend Sotto Voce, visiting down where it's eternal noche. Noche is Spanish for night, you know. Really a reference, just to show that English isn't all I have to go by. Oh, well, I guess I missed my calling. I should have been a lobbyist. You see, I'm stalling to give them time to finish the voting. Let's see. The weather. Now I'm quoting the Daily Hellion. Continued heat both overhead and under feet. Fresh and moderate gases blowing up to gale force and then going north by westerly. Light showers of brimstone toward the evening hours. That's all it says here. I'm not fibbing. How am I doing with my ad-libbing? This is a thing a gabbard have fun with. Say, the drawing should soon be done with. We expect the results at any moment now. As soon as...
The lots have been drawn, and I'm glad to say the honor has fallen Nero's way. Now, Nero, you are charged with a great task. It's the evilest deed that we could ask a fiend to do. We'll be proud of you.
Now, just one moment. How do I get there? What do I wear? Is it dry or wet there? Is it fact or fancy or just word of mouth that he lives at the pole? Is it north or south? If he dwells in the regions to which I've referred, must I pass through a camp of Admiral Byrd? What shall I use when it comes to the showdown? A gun or a dagger? Well, give me the lowdown.
Now, Nero, you needn't sound so tragic. You'll get to Earth by the blackest magic. To create an express elevator is simple for an expert spell creator. With a lot of pyrotechnic dazzle, we'll let you off on a hill in Basel, Switzerland. From there, you will make your way to the Arctic Circle, then break your way through ice with a blowtorch. After a while, you are bound to reach Santa's domicile. And once you get there, oh, my dear Nero, all of our work will have gone for zero. If you don't succeed in your assignment, a disadvantage of our confinement. In limbo is the fact that we only get one chance in all the eternal roulette. Of circumstance...
I know. If at first we don't succeed, we can try again. But there is no need, because nothing will come of it. Meaning no offense, do you mind if I take my departure hence?
that, my friends, was a big brass gong. It's used in this story right along to indicate that we're about to travel to points where the plot will further unravel. And now, if Ambassador Nero elects, we'll have another spot of sound effects.
Tell me, stranger. Basel, Switzerland, or is it already Donner and Blitzerland?
Donner und Blitzerland, 5,000 miles away.
Thank you, mister. Good day. Tell me, stranger, I've been walking inland for weeks. Where am I now?
In Finland.
Tell me, stranger, because I've lost stock, where am I now?
In Vladivostok.
This is stranger after all these centuries of blistering heat. Now I have to suffer from freezing feet. I'm wincing with pain from this pesky toe.
No speak English. Eskimo.
I declare by my frenetic soul, I must be over the magnetic pole. My watch has stopped. Can that be right? I wonder... Ah, a light. A light. In a moment now, you'll hear me knock on Santa's door, and he'll unlock it, nevermore to lock again.
Coming!
So is doom.
How do you do, sir?
Very well indeed. And you, sir?
Splendidly. Won't you come right in? Take your coat off. I see your chin is frozen. Also, your hands and knees. Sit down while I get you some antifreeze.
Don't bother, sir. I will not be long. I am about to perpetrate a fearful wrong. In short, I am going to do away with...
Take it easy. Do not play with that gun. I know all about you.
Really?
Haven't I had my agents scout you for weeks? You've come all this way to abolish Christmas. Now, let me say...
Listen, Santa. I'm no callow stripling. I've read Ernest Hemingway and Kipling and... Also, the shooting of Dan McGrew. And plenty of detective stories, too. And just to show you what a broad guy I am, I've also read the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Do you think that a fellow with his reading so graded could have learned so little as to be dissuaded from a main objective? Why, don't make me giggle.
I'd feel a lot better if you wouldn't wiggle that gun so. Much as I'm impressed with your education... I honestly believe that a figure of your station should have given more thought to the ways of man and less devotion to the cult of Pan.
By others, no doubt your wisdom may be prized, but I didn't come here to be criticized. In fact, I came to dispatch a duty, so don't hand me any of this tutti-frutti. If you have any last words you want to say, then spill them. I haven't got all day.
Now, what's the rush? Unless I've counted wrong, the polar day has always been 6 months long.
Well, after I've disposed of you, I've got to hurry. Right back to hell, they'll begin to worry.
Not about you, but about your career in homicide. Do you think that the mere loss of you would make them hysterical? Their only interest is numerical.
Think so?
Mephisto wants to rule just as much of humanity as possible for reasons of personal vanity.
By the sticks, you're right! To think that he'd dare. Are there any ladies here? Will you permit me to swear?
My answer to that is an emphatic no. There are several lady dolls in the toy room below.
Oh, Claudius. Oh, Cassius. Oh, Naphthalene. What a fool I've been. What a fool I've been. Yeah, but wait. I think I see what you're after. You're as clever as a big-time Roman grafter. You remind me now of my royalty, just to get me in a mood for disloyalty. Do you think I could be that meanly deceptive to Satan? Why, Santa, I'm keenly perceptive. I can see right through all your clever ruses.
Nero can be plenty foxy when he chooses. I'll have you know that I'm partly a dreamer, partly a wit, and partly a schemer. I'm part philosophical and also part mystic.
I suppose you fancy that you're highly artistic.
Fancy? Why, I have such a sense of beauty.
Don't hand me a helping of Tutti Frutti. Any creature who really had beauty in his soul would appreciate Christmas. He would know that the whole idea of the holiday was one of such power that all the fiends below might gnash their fangs and glower, yet never in a million years could do it harm. Because it has a glory, a greatness, a charm you'd know nothing about.
That's so?
The spirit that it venerates, the good cheer that it generates, are things far, far beyond you. For all your wealth, no man on earth could sell ye these.
Am I so cursed as that? Will you tell me, please? What beauties there may be that I've never seen.
Have you ever seen a Christmas tree, tall and green, smelling of woodlands, covered with a sheen of silveriness, its branches bending low, with the fruits of human kindness instead of snow?
No.
Have you ever closely witnessed what takes place any Christmas morning on a young child's face, or perceived any beauties purer than the joys distilled in the hearts of little girls and boys? Have you ever watched a fire in a fireplace on a Christmas Eve? Or listen to a grace at a table heavy with fruits and cakes and all the wonders that a kitchen makes, fowls and pastries, wines and meats, and nuts and raisins and candied sweets? Have you ever seen mistletoe hanging from a ceiling? In frosty air, heard a far bell pealing? Have you ever come back from a sleigh ride tingling and your feet keeping time with the sleigh bells jingling? Have you ever seen the beauty of a sprig of holly, or felt for a moment how it feels to be jolly?
Golly.
Have you ever known how exceedingly pleasant it is to unwrap a Christmas present? Did you ever know how much cheer it lends to be wished a Merry Christmas by all your friends? Did you ever experience the fun of giving? Do you know at all the joys of living?
I guess I don't. For all of me, I never knew such things could be. Just think how long in ignorance I've slept.
It must have been the company you kept.
I was a wicked tyrant once, you know.
Ah, yes, but that was centuries ago. You really had no way of knowing.
Perhaps. I guess that I'll be going. I really should be getting on my way.
But do you have to? Don't you want to stay?
You see, I'm just a bit,
Embarrassed?
Why, yes, sir.
Now, don't look so harassed. I know just why you came and who it was that sent you. But that's all done with. I take it you repent you of all your past mistakes.
With many pains and aches of conscience.
We interrupt this broadcast for a special bulletin. The Algiers radio, recorded by the CBS shortwave listening station, has just reported that Admiral Jean Darlan has been assassinated. Said the Algiers announcer, complete order reigns in Algiers. Further details at 8:55 tonight. We return you now to the program, The Plot to Overthrow Christmas.
And tell me, will you have some wine or beer? I never touch the stuff myself, but I managed to keep on hand a little rye for purposes medicinal. I mean, your chin should be unfrozen. What a state it's in.
A while ago, you asked me if I understood good cheer. I do so now, St. Nicholas. I see it standing here. I want to ask you something, sir. Now, please don't give a yelp. Is there any sort of work to do where I can be of help?
Indeed there is. Indeed there is. And I'm glad you asked me. I have so many toys to make. This year the job's got past me. But first you sit and eat this bowl. I've got a little trifle I'd like for you to see. So will you sit right here and stifle your curiosity? I'll get it for you right away. It's down the hall.
Who'd ever think it? Will wonders never cease? At last, after all these centuries, I'm so happy I could buzz. It shows you what a lot a little Christmas spirit does. As emperor, I envied oft the cheerfulness of peasants, and now I...
Well, here it is, Nero, my boy. By way of Christmas presents, I offer you this little gift.
But, Santa, for what reason?
A very good one, sir, to wit, compliments of the season. Well, go ahead and open it. Why stand there so, reflecting?
I'm just... collecting thoughts, St. Nick, my thoughts. I'm just collecting. Just think how far a tiny bit of fellowship will carry us. Oh, well.
I say, what's this? What's this? It is the Stradivarius. Oh, thank you. Thanks a million times. I don't know what to say to you. I'll tell you what I'll do, St. Nick. I'll start right in and play for you. I'll play all night and day for you.
Fine, here's some music. I'm sure you'll play it well. It's a little piece entitled Noel, Noel.
This is I. Remember me, your sotto voce friend? I'll just come back to tell you that the story's at an end.
Once again, the plot to overthrow Christmas has been foiled. 1 year ago today, none of us knew whether on December 24th, 1942, we could do such a broadcast as the Norman Corwin holiday play you have just heard. However, we could and we did, and we rather think that the plot to overthrow Christmas will be thwarted again in 1943.
From December of 1942, there's The Plot to Overthrow Christmas by Norman Corwin as a part of the CBS Columbia Workshop, first broadcast in December of 1942. And replete, of course, with a special news bulletin, we thought we'd leave that in as a special treat for you. In a moment, Nick Carter, Master Detective, and Christmas Adventure, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Nick Carter, Master Detective, premiered on Mutual in April of 1943. Like Mr. Keene before him and Mr. Chameleon afterward, Nick worked with assistants that kept in a state of perpetual fascination at his unprecedented brilliance. Nick's friends were beautiful, talented Gal Friday secretary Patsy Bowen and the demon reporter Scubby Wilson. Lon Clark, opera singer turned radio actor, was nicely suited for the title role. Patsy was played by Helen Choate until mid-1946 when Charlotte Manson took the part. Scubby was played by John Kane, and Sergeant Matty was Ed Latimer. Nick Carter, Master Detective, ran until 1955, often as a sustaining program on Mutual. Its longest-running time slot was Sundays from 1944 through 1954. Here from December of 1943, Nick Carter with Christmas Adventure, coming your way on Yesteryear.
Yes, it's another case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction, Nick Carter, Master Detective. Tonight's curious adventure, a special Christmas story.
Nick Carter's Christmas Adventure, or the Mystery of the Reluctant Contributor.
We've been pretty lucky so far, haven't we?
Yes, Gubby, we have.
Which is another way of saying that folks are usually willing to contribute to your settlement house Christmas party every year, Nick.
No, Gubby, I was just thinking about this last name on our list.
Yeah?
Rasper. I don't know him personally. You?
No, I don't, but somebody must have thought he was rich enough or interested enough in the work to make a substantial contribution. Oh, here's the... Hey, is this... Hey, Nick, what's that address again?
576 Milton Avenue.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And there's his name on the doorplate. Well, let's take a look, Scubby.
Well, gosh, this doesn't make sense, Nick. A guy with dough doesn't hide away in a place like this.
Well, knock on the door anyhow.
Doesn't seem to be anybody here, Nick.
Now, hold it, Scubby. I hear someone coming.
Oh. Who is it?
I'm Nicholas Carter. May I speak to Mr. Rasper, please?
Nick Carter, eh?
Yes, yes. And this is my assistant, Scubby Wilson.
How do you do?
You, Mr. Rasper?
Yes. Well, come in, come in. It's cold out there. You're letting all the heat out.
Oh, beg your pardon. Come on, Scubby.
Yeah, I'm in, Nick. I'm in.
Well, what was it you wanted?
Well, Mr. Rasper, I've come to see if you would care to make a contribution to my Christmas party fund.
I never make contributions.
Oh, but you didn't let Nick finish, sir. The fund provides food and extra clothing for the needy and deserving
the
children.
The charity department's still working, isn't it?
Well, of course, Mr. Rasper, but my object is to provide an inspiration for the young people who are underprivileged.
People who haven't got any money are always trying to get it from those who have.
Then you aren't interested in seeing that the children of the Lincoln Hall District are helped to a little happiness on Christmas Day?
No, I'm not. Christmas is old-fashioned. I don't believe in it. It's a waste of money and time. Good day.
Oh, well, Mr. Rasper, it's always been a lot of fun for me personally, and I must say that I've always felt better for celebrating it.
And I'm inclined to agree with Scubby, Mr. Rasper. Christmas has always been a bright spot in my life, and I feel sure that if you knew the good it has done throughout the world, it'd make you change your mind.
Rubbish.
Well, in any case, a Merry Christmas to you.
Good day to you. Merry Christmas, indeed. It's a lot of nonsense.
Come on, Nick. Let's get back to civilization.
You know, Scubby, that man's wealthy. No doubt about that. And yet he's soured on Christmas and everything it stands for.
You said our mouth full, Nick.
You know, Scubby, there must be reason why he thinks that way. And I'd like to find out what it is.
Yeah, but you haven't anything to work on, Nick.
Oh, no, Scubby, I haven't. Not yet. But look here. I can finish up whatever has to be done this afternoon. Suppose you hop down to the newspaper office and go through the files there. There might just be something we could learn about Rasper that way.
Okay, Nick, I'll be glad to.
Then I'll have Riley check through the files at headquarters. It's a long shot, but something might turn up.
Sure, and maybe Patsy has run into something while she's been working down at the settlement house. She might know somebody who knows something about Rasper.
Yeah, she might have that. I'll ask her about it.
Okay.
And maybe with all of us working together on it, we may learn why Rasper's so dead set against Christmas. I'd certainly like to find out.
Hello, is that you, Nick? Riley talking. I've been through my files here, and I can't find anything charged against a man named Ben Rasper. Oh, he was licensed to do business with a man named Howard Lowe, but Lowe died some years ago. Otherwise, Rasper is just a successful businessman. Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what, though, Nick. There's an old fella named Fred Anderson who used to be on the force who knows Rasper. Sure, you can find him at Lincoln Hall where you're giving the party. He's the watchman there now. Okay, Nick, that's all right. See you tomorrow.
Hello, hello. Oh, yes, Scubby? Well, you did, huh? Sports promoter, huh? Well, well. What was that name again? Chris Baum. Why, yes, yes, I recall. Oh, no, I'll be there in about an hour, so I want to call Patsy first. Right. And thanks, Scubby. Bye.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a horse open sleigh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what...
Hey, Patsy? How's everything, huh? Oh, fine. I'm coming down to the hall. Is there anything you want me to bring along? Huh? Why, sure, I can do that. But will that be enough, though? Okay. Yeah, Scubby just called. Oh, he found out something about Rasper. What? You did, too. How old is he? Named Jimmy, huh? And he's coming to our party? Oh, fine, fine, Patsy. Okay, I'll see you in a little while. Bye. Oh, that's fine. We've collected enough to do this year's party up right. Now let's get organized. Riley, your job will be to get the kids and the needy persons rounded up.
Oh, sure, Nick. I'll take care of it. I got your list and the list from the social worker and from the church down there. And there are plenty of others who'll need a lift this year, believe me.
I know it, Riley, and I'll depend on you. Scubby, it's your job to see that the tree and decorations and gifts are taken care of.
Don't worry, Nick. Decorating is my middle name. I'll make Lincoln Hall look like $1 million in cash.
Good boy, good boy. And Patsy, you'll see to it that there's plenty to eat and drink for the party, so I won't have to worry about that. I'll take care of the bills, and you have the letters of credit the stores gave us. You know how to do that.
Sure thing, Nick. Good. I've been through it with you often enough before. I ought to know what you want by this time.
What are you going to be doing, Nick?
Me? Well, Riley, I'm going to do a little detecting. I'm going to look into those tips you, Patsy, and Scubby gave me about those people who know Ben Rasper. And by the time I'm through, I hope to find out why it is that he hates Christmas the way he does. And then, well, then, maybe I'll be able to do something about it.
Hello?
Yes, this is Rasper talking. Yes? I sent you the bell, didn't I? Well, whatever it is due on the 27th. No, just because it's a holiday, there's no telling reason for bills to be unpaid. Ah, goodbye. Darn fool nonsense, that's what it is. It's a lot of foolish...
Still talking big, ain't you, Rasper?
Who's there? What do you want?
Don't you remember me, Rasper?
No, I don't remember you. Who are you?
You used to call me the Kid. Chris the Kid.
Chris?
Sometimes known as the Human Flash.
Chris, you?
Oh. Well, it's been a long time, Rasper, hasn't it?
How'd you find me? Who sent you here?
A fellow named Nick Carter told me I'd find you here in your office, even if it is Christmas Eve.
Nick Carter? Oh, yes. Wanted me to give him some money for some fool party.
Oh, for the party at Lincoln Hall, I guess. He's never asked me for anything. Just gave me what I needed, when I needed it.
Yeah, so he hired you to come here and take up my time to get...
No, he didn't send me here. Just said I'd find you here, that's all. I came here on my own accord, just to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ha!
Thought you'd say that. Well, I don't mind, because it's on account of Nick Carter that I can stand on my own feet again. Not on account of you.
What's that?
You mind if I sit down? It was on Christmas Eve that we won our first fight, wasn't it?
Fight? Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I can remember the noise of the crowd, the glare of the lights, and the smoke curling around, and the brightness over the ring, and you leaning over me with that wet towel.
You got him going, Chris. Another one like that last round, and you'll have him in the ropes for the count. How do you feel now, Kid?
I'm okay, Rasper. Just let me at him. I don't have to wait anymore. It's my meat right now.
You take your orders from me, Kid. I'm the brains here. When you get the signal from me, you give it to him.
Okay, Rasper. You're the boss.
Go ahead, Kid. Keep that left up. Keep your shoulder high. Keep it up. That's right, Kid. That's the ticket. Now you can take him. Get set. Take him, Chris. Now!
There are a lot of those little affairs after that, Rasper. And I always did what I was told, huh?
Yes. You're a good fighter, Chris. Good fighter.
I made a lot of money for us in those fights, Rasper.
Well,
a lot of money.
The old days, Chris. Lots of water's gone under lots of bridges since then.
I know. And the percentage you paid me didn't last long, either. It went just like that water. But I didn't care much about things like that. Till the day a friend of mine came and gave me a warning tip and started me thinking.
Hello, Kid. How do you feel?
Oh, hello, Rasper. Where you been? I wanted to talk to you.
I've been around. What's up?
I got a tip today that you're signing up Timmy O'Day. You're going to manage him.
Who told you that?
Never mind. Is it true?
That depends.
Depends on what?
Look, Kid, you're getting slow. O'Day's fresh. He'll be the next champ. If he wins this fight with you tonight, I'm taking him over.
If I win tonight?
I'm taking O'Day over anyhow. We've been together a long time, Kid, and it don't pay to get into too much of a rut.
So that's all it means to you, is it? Money. The payoff, huh? What about all the years we've known each other? What about the things we've been through? Why, you...
Nah, don't get yourself all in a sweat, Kid. It isn't good for you. You'll get your cut anyway. Don't worry. You'll get your cut. I'll see you later.
Rasper, what do I do? Tell me what to do. I can't see him. My eyes all puffed up. He's cutting me to ribbons. Tell me what to do, Rasper.
Don't bother me, Kid. Use your own judgment. You're on your own, as of now.
But, Rasper, you always...
You're on your own, Kid.
I can still see you sitting there in the ring corner, laughing at me. But that was the last thing I saw for a long time. O'Day saw to that. You must have coached him pretty thorough about my style. And then you really cashed in. Well, I haven't got much myself, but I'm still able to wish you a Merry Christmas, Rasper. Although I don't think you'll ever have one.
Chris, I...
Well, I got some things to do, Rasper. Carter asked me to pick up some things for the party at Lincoln Hall tomorrow. We always have a swell time at Carter's Christmas parties. Too bad you can't enjoy anything like that anymore. Well, as I said before, Rasper, Merry Christmas.
How can a man work with his mind whirling like a merry-go-round? Christmas Eve.
tired of finding excuse for people to go around yelling at each other in the streets. Disturbing a man when he wants to get some work done. Oh, I might as well close the office and get some rest. Would have been home by now if the kid, Chris, hadn't taken up so much time. What Chris does for a living now. Wonder if... Ah, it's none of my concern. Get home and get some sleep. That's what I need. Who's that? I'm closing up. Come back tomorrow morning.
Oh, I'm glad I got here before you left, Ben.
Who is it?
It's Nina, Ben.
Oh, Nina.
I only stopped by to speak to you for a moment. It's getting quite late and
Well, sit down for a moment, Nina.
Oh, thank
here,
you.
Here, let me get your chair.
I suppose it's rather bold of me to come after all this time, but I...
Why, no, Nina, no. I'm glad you did. Is there something you want?
Oh, no. No, there's nothing you can do for me, Ben. Jimmy and I are doing very nicely. I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. I was in the neighborhood doing some shopping for the party that Mr. Carter's giving at Lincoln Hall tomorrow, and
how is he, Nina? Jimmy, I mean.
Oh, he's fine, Ben. He's full of life and interested in everything. He has a good head on his shoulders, and he's very handsome, too.
Oh, that's fine. Just fine.
You're looking a little tired, Ben. Are you feeling well?
Oh, yes, of course. I've been working hard, that's all. I don't spend much time at home. Not much reason to.
That's the way you wanted it, Ben. Don't you remember?
Nina, where are you?
Oh, Jimmy, there's Daddy. Wait here for Mommy like a good boy, won't you? I'm coming, Ben. I've been keeping your dinner warm for you. I hope you'll... What's the matter, Ben? You look as if...
That's nothing, Nina, nothing. I'm in a hurry, that's all.
Well, you're always in a hurry, aren't you? Never have time for...
Where's my dinner?
Sit down, Ben. I'll have it for you right away. This plate is hot now. Be careful that you don't burn yourself.
I won't. Salt, please.
Here you are, dear. Ben, when you've finished, won't you take time enough out of your business to help me get the tree decorated? I know Jimmy's too young to know much about it, but I'd love to have his Christmas all ready for him in the morning. Look, I'll put him to sleep right away, and then we can start. See, I have some holly and mistletoe for the fireplace, and some...
I won't have time for
that,
Nina.
But, Ben, it's Christmas Eve. Surely you...
I have to get back to the office. I'm putting on a championship match for O'Day in January, and the things have gone haywire. Something that can't wait till tomorrow. Have to get it organized right away, that's all.
Ben, this is Christmas Eve. Tomorrow will be Jimmy's first Christmas. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
You and Jimmy celebrate Christmas any way you want to, Nina. I've something more important to do. Business is more important than sentiment. You certainly can see that.
Yes, Ben. I can see that. I've been seeing it more and more during the last few years. I thought that when Jimmy came, maybe you would... No, I was wrong, wasn't I, Ben? You'd even let your love for business break up our home.
Break up our... Oh, don't be melodramatic, Nina.
I'm not being melodramatic, Ben. I'm trying to be very calm and quiet about it. I've had a lot of time to think when I've sat alone here night after night. Those days on end when you've been away attending to your business...
And what has come out of all this thinking you've done?
Just this, Ben. I'm not going on any longer. Either you belong to your family, or your family will get along without you.
I have to rush, Nina. Good night.
Good night, Ben. It's good... Goodbye. Jimmy and I are leaving tonight.
Look, I haven't time to talk about it with you now, Nina. By the way, this will probably take most of the night.
Good night. Goodbye, Ben, and... Merry Christmas.
I never had much of a chance to make it up to you, Nina.
You've had all the chance you wanted, Ben.
But, Nina,
I just dropped by to say hello and to give you a wish for happiness during the holidays. It's hard not to share with you the joy I have with Jimmy. I wish you could see his eyes dance at Mr. Carter's Christmas parties. Unfortunately, on what little I make, we can't very well afford to have our Christmas at home, but somehow we don't miss it. Everybody has such a grand time at Mr. Carter's party, and Jimmy does enjoy every minute that he's there. Goodness, I'll have to be on my way. Jimmy's waiting for me, and I have to make one more stop for Mr. Carter. Good night, Ben, and Merry Christmas.
This stuff doesn't taste like anything. Nothing at all. Can't understand what's got into me. It's good food, fixed the same as it always is. It just doesn't taste right, that's all. What's that? Someone at the door this time of the night? I'm coming.
Hello, Ben. It's Fred Anderson. Glad I found you at home.
I'm always at home this time of night.
Yes, I suppose you are, Ben. Can I come in?
Of course.
I brought your package, Ben. Nick Carter sent me around with it. Said you'd probably be here alone tomorrow and he'd like you to have it.
Carter? What's Carter sending me?
You might open it and see, Ben. I'm no mind reader.
Can't see any reason why Carter would want to... What wine? Let me see the card. Merry Christmas from Nick Carter. What's the idea? You know anything about this, Fred?
No, but Nick Carter's a funny duck. There's lots of things people don't expect him to.
Why, I don't even know the man. Only saw him once and then... You want a glass of this wine, Fred?
Don't mind if I do, Ben. Since it's Christmas Eve, I don't mind at all.
There's some glasses here somewhere. Say, how do you open this thing?
Here, I'll do it for you, Ben. Yeah, that does it. Well, go ahead, you open it.
Oh, yes, all right.
Well, then, ain't you drinking with me, Ben?
Huh? Oh. Yes, I will.
That's the ticket. Well, here's Merry Christmas for you, Ben.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Well, where have you been keeping yourself, Fred?
Oh, I've been sort of working around Lincoln Hall since I was retired from the force.
I see.
You know, while I was coming here tonight, I was thinking about those old days when I walked a beat. Funny, most folks call them the good old days, but I don't.
You did all right in those times, didn't you?
Oh, sure, I got along. I was just thinking about the different attitudes folks have nowadays toward being given a hand. They appreciate it more, it seems to me.
Charity's still charity, Fred. That hasn't changed.
Guess it's all in the point of view, Ben. I guess you haven't changed with the times. That night I met you near the bridge. I was sure you were going to see that you were headed in the wrong direction and wake up in time. Huh? Remember that night, Ben? It was Christmas Eve. You'd just come from the arena. They'd handed you your walking papers because you'd let them down cold. Well,
Merry Christmas, officer.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, sir. Well, what are you doing out on a night like this, Ben? I thought you'd be up at the arena getting the New Year's fights lined up.
What? Oh, it's you, Anderson. No, I'm not at the arena anymore.
That's so. What happened?
They decided tonight they'd rather have Davis take over my job. Fine Christmas present, that is.
Well, that's tough news, Ben. What you going to do now?
I don't know. I can't seem to think straight.
Oh, that's a crazy way for a man like you to talk. On a Christmas Eve, too?
Christmas Eve. That's never been anything but a jinx to me. First I get stuck with that no-good fighter all day. Then Nina leaves me and takes my son with her. And now Irina throws me out.
Well, maybe you better stop and find out what it is you're doing wrong, Ben. Maybe you're the one that's to blame, not Christmas Eve.
They all take advantage of me. I made all the money I could for them, but I'm not going to do it anymore.
Oh, take it easy, Ben. Take it easy. You better go home and think it over.
I have thought it over, Fred, and I know what the answer is. I'm going to make money for myself and nobody else. I'll show these people. I'll make so much money they'll come crawling to me on their knees. I won't have to ask for anybody's sympathy.
You don't pay to think like that, Ben. You'll regret it. Now, look. I know that Bill Boynton, who runs the shoe store down on Elm Street, is looking for a man to buy in with him.
Why don't... work in a shoe store? Not in your life, Fred. I'm going after the big money. Big money. That's the only thing people understand, and I'm going to get it.
Now you've got it, Ben. You're one of the richest men in town. And what's he got you?
Why, I don't know.
Ben, it's too bad you don't get around and see what nice people there are in the world. People like this Carter fella, for instance. Does a man good to know people like him. Makes you feel there really is a Santa Claus, to see him bring the smiles to the kids' faces at those parties he gives down at Lincoln Hall. Well, I'll be getting back there now, Ben. I've got a big day tomorrow. I'm not as young as I used to be. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Ben. I'll tell Nina I saw you. She'll be at the party tomorrow with young Jimmy. Good night, Ben.
Lieutenant Riley will hand you your gift. Then you go around to the tables there and get your refreshment. Come on now, line up. That's it. That's the ticket. Now, march around here. Come on. Take your time now.
Well, Patsy, how's it going?
Oh, Nick, it's wonderful. They're having a grand time.
Oh, that's fine, Patsy. Hey, Patsy, look.
Hmm?
Over there by the door. What do you see?
Where, Nick? Well, who's that?
That, Patsy, is Ben Resper. Oh, I hope he's come to join the party.
For heaven's sake, so that's the man I've heard so much about. Well, you look scared to death, Nick.
Look, Patsy, will you go over and make him welcome?
Oh, of course, Nick.
Good.
Hello there. Merry Christmas. I'm Patsy Bowen.
Oh.
Won't you join us?
How do you do? I hope I'm not... Do you mind if I just watch?
Well, of course not. Come right in.
I wanted to thank Mr. Carter for the gift he sent, and I...
Nick's right over there near the tree. Come along.
Children seem to be enjoying themselves, don't they?
They certainly do. There's Lieutenant Riley handing out the gifts there. Scotty Wilson with him, standing next to Mr. Carter.
Yes, I met Mr. Wilson.
Look at Lieutenant Riley. He's having as much fun as the children.
So I see. Oh, there's a nice-looking boy there, Miss... what's his name?
Where?
Oh, that one over there.
Oh, that's Jimmy. He's a nice boy. His mother was a big help to me in getting the refreshments ready. There she is over there on the far side of the hall at the table, see?
Oh, yes. Her son.
Yes.
Yes,
Nick,
I see.
Oh, Nick, we have a new guest.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Asper. Merry Christmas. I'm glad you could join us.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. I came to express my appreciation for the gift you sent me. I hardly know how
Make
to...
Make nothing of it, Mr. Rasper. You're being here. Thanks enough for me.
Mr. Carter, that little boy coming along the line there, Jimmy, I think his name is, do you think I might give him... I mean, could I hand him his gift, do you think?
Why, certainly. Riley. Mr. Rasper here wants to lend a hand. Can you use him?
Sure thing, Nick. Come along, Mr. Rasper.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
You just hand him these packages if they come along, Mr. Rasper, and enjoy yourself, man.
I will. There, little girl. Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
Say, she liked it, didn't she?
Well, they all appreciate a little kindness, Mr. Asper. Now, here's a gift for that little boy there.
Oh. Hello, Jimmy. Here you are. And a Merry Christmas, son.
Was the day for you. Gosh, I haven't had so much fun since last year.
You played those games harder than any two kids in the bunch, Scubby.
Yeah, and lost practically every time.
Kidding. Well, you really have to be in condition to keep up with these kids. Boy, they're wonders. Hey, where do they get all that energy?
That will be one of the world's great mysteries forever, Scubby. Nick, what are you thinking so hard about?
Hmm? Oh, I was just thinking of the way Mr. Rasper took to the party.
Oh?
Hey, don't you mean the way the party took to Mr. Rasper, Nick?
Yeah, I never saw a man open up the way he did. It was wonderful. The children just flocked around him.
And that's one of the greatest jobs that Nick Carter ever did.
What do you mean, Riley?
Well, Patsy, you'll never believe it, but when Nick and I went to see Rasper to get a contribution to the party, he was the hardest case of unadulterated unpleasantness I ever saw. But somehow Nick managed to get under his skin and bring out, well, what you saw tonight.
Well, for heaven's sake. How did you do it, Nick?
Well, it wasn't difficult, Patsy. You see, I could see when we first spoke to Rasper that he was fighting something. But I didn't know what it was. But from what Riley, Scubby, and you told me, I found that three different times Christmas Eve had brought him bad luck. First the fighter O'Day, then Mrs. Rasper had left Rasper on a Christmas Eve, taking his son Jimmy with her. And third, he'd lost his promoter's connection at the arena, also on Christmas Eve. Well, the whole thing added up. Rasper associated Christmas Eve with a list of unfortunate incidents and fought anything that suggested the holidays to him. He made a lot of money, but it never brought him happiness. The big thing for me
was to make him realize that people and Christmas meant good and not evil. And from what I saw this afternoon, the Rasper family and the whole neighborhood, for that matter, is going to benefit by his awakening to that realization.
Oh, Nick, that's wonderful. You deserve a kiss for that.
Oh, thanks, Betsy. I'm glad you feel that way, too. You know, I'm happier this evening because of Mr. Rasper than I would be if I'd solved 20 murders. He's made this a really merry Christmas for all of us.
This has been another of the strange adventures of Nick Carter, Master Detective. In the strange adventure you have just heard, Nick Carter was impersonated by Lon Clark, Patsy by Helen Choate, and Scubby by John Kane. The entire production was under the direction of Jock McGregor. The Return of Nick Carter is produced in the studios of WOR and is broadcast over most of these stations Monday evenings at 9:30 Eastern Wartime. This is Mutual.
From December of 1943, Nick Carter, Master Detective with Christmas Adventure. Well, that's all the adventure I'm afraid we have for this edition of Yesteryear, but we'll be back with you again next week at this very same time. So, till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat. Listening nightly to our favorite show, radio. I miss you so, dio, volio, do, dio, do, radio. I miss you so.
KCEA, Atherton, Redwood City. A broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District. Online at kcea.org.
absence makes the heart grow fonder for somebody else. I love you dearly, I'm yours sincerely, but honey, please remember, absence makes the heart grow fonder for somebody else. When the cat's away, the mice will play. I don't say I will, but still I may. I may be blue away from you, and then again I may be gay. When I get fretful, I get forgetful. So honey, please remember, absence makes the heart grow fonder for somebody else.
Keep your ears tuned right here, 24-7, around the world, nonstop. The best of the big bands, Big Band 89.1 KCEA.
They make me blue. No stalling, I'm falling, going in a big wave for sweet little you. My heart is jumping, you sure started something with them, their eyes. You better look out if you're wise. They sparkle and they bubble, they're gonna get you in a whole lot of trouble. You're overworking and there's danger lurking in them, their eyes.
Night and day, day and night.
In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, under the hide of me, there's an old such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
Nothing like the pure joy, the sheer excitement of the big bands. That's what Swing Thing is all about. I'm your host, Fred Hall. Join me and my guests, the top arrangers, composers, leaders, sidemen, and singers, as we dig the sounds of the big bands through the years and right up to today. It's a laid-back, highly informing, always entertaining session. Swing Thing.
Thursdays at 9 p.m. Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA.
you turn the tables on me. And now I'm falling for you. You turn the tables on me. I can't believe that it's true. I always thought when you brought those lovely presents you bought, why hadn't you brought me more? But now if you come, I'd welcome anything from the 5 and 10 cent store. You used to call me the Tom. You put me up on a throne. You let me fall with a drop. And now I'm out on my own. But after thinking it over and over, I got what was coming to me. Just like the sting of a bee, you turn the tables on me. Me the top. You put me up on a throne. You let me fall with a drop. And now I'm out on my own. But after thinking it over and over, I got what was coming to me. Just like the sting of a bee, you turn the tables on me.